Praise his name. Stand with me if you will. We'll open the service. We bow our heads. Father, Lord, we're truly appreciative. Oh God, how every moment, Lord, we have to come together and to, Lord, to hear you speak to us through thy word is truly so precious to us. Father, may we never lose that desire, Lord, to gather together. Lord Jesus, the opportunity to help one another and to draw strength from each other, Lord. Father, to encourage one another. Lord, that's very dear, Lord. And Father, I feel it's very important. And Lord, the opportunity to hear you speak to us under the anointing of thy word, thy spirit, Father. Lord, for you to instruct us, teach us, Father, where we can draw closer to you. Lord, the keeping of that word, every word, Lord. Have your way is my prayer. Bless each and every one that's been able to come, Lord. Just strengthen us all, and may we, Lord, give you the glory and honor in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. You happy to be out tonight, saints? Amen. Turn with me, if you would. I'd like to, in our books on page 22, I'd like to start there. Heard that little song tonight, and it just struck my heart. Victory in Jesus. Amen. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory, amen. My Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, amen. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there. Amen. Looking forward to that day. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory, amen. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory. Jesus. Amen. Praise his holy name. Page 169, same books. Wonderful. Amen. I could sing this song all the time. Love this song. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me. Amen. Think about it. Sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name's inscribed upon the book of heaven. Oh, he's wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, having sweet communion. Oh, what change grace hath wrought in my lowly station, since my soul's received that full and free salvation. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Amen. Is he truly wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. When the roll is called up yonder. Amen. Page 87. Let's sing that. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Amen. Oh, when the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. Oh, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, amen. Oh, when the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Oh, let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, amen. Oh, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder,
You got that assurance, saints? Amen. When he calls, you'll answer. Amen. Go home to be with him throughout eternity. Amen. He's so wonderful. Brother Josh, you want to come up for the offering? Hallelujah. That's the blessing, if you will.
Lord, we have so many things to thank you for, Lord. So many blessings. Lord, we can't count the blessings, Lord. Every little blessings, Lord, every day, throughout the day, Lord. That, Lord, might not mean much to some, but Lord, it's what makes this life so much easier, Lord, because we have you with us, Lord. We're so very thankful, Lord. Just have your preeminence remain in the service, Lord. Let your will be done, Lord. Let the speaker speak your word, Lord, with boldness, Lord, and truth, Lord. And Lord, let it come into our hearts, Lord. He that hath an ear, let him hear, Lord, this night. Lord, just bless this offering. Use it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. Have your perfect way with it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing a little chorus, Feeling So Much Better. Amen.
Feeling so much better, talking about the good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way.
Let's go on, amen, sing it again.
Oh, feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord.
Amen. Do you want to talk about him? Tell everyone you see, everyone you know, the goodness and his grace. Hallelujah. How many have a request for him tonight? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Praise his name. Brother Amos, would you like to take the request tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Would you have a song tonight, Karen? Yes, if you'd come.
In the back of God's great mind, he had a plan. He longed to manifest himself through man. To make sure it was fulfilled, he didn't take a chance. He prepared somebody beforehand. God has someone that's been predestined. He has someone to meet his need. There is someone been made to order, and I know that someone is me. No man in his mortal flesh could ever live God's life. It's impossible to even try. But God will use that body if we'll just give it to Him. And through that one, He'll manifest again. Someone feels the challenge to accomplish this today. They're watching every move their body makes. They have a willing heart no matter what God asked of them. They'll be that prisoner so in love with Him. God has someone that's been predestined. Someone been made to order, and I know that someone is me. There is someone been made to order, and by grace that someone is me.
Lord, I believe. Ask our brother to come. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, precious Lord, we are truly thankful for the opportunity we've been given together, and Lord, just so appreciative for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for the precious word that you've left us, and Lord, for the many blessings you've given us. And Lord, once again, we've all gathered here tonight hungry, Lord, asking you to feed us. Lord, we've come here to hear from you, Lord, not me or what I've got to say, but Lord, we've each one come here asking you to have your way, Lord. And we just ask you to bless your word to our hearts, Lord. Move me out of the way, Lord. Don't let me say anything that would be displeasing to you in any way. But, Lord, may it be 100% the word that you've brought us in this day. And, Lord, we'll give you all the glory and the honor that's due you in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My, don't you love him?
Amen.
My, he's precious. Happy to be here. Amen. Thank the Lord for his many blessings. While you're still standing, if you would, I'm going to turn to the book of Revelation, the third chapter, and read some very familiar scriptures. Just a little thought on my heart this evening, and something the Lord had laid on my heart, praying it'll help us some way along the way. Maybe make us draw a little closer to Him. Amen. Revelation, the third chapter, begin here at the 14th verse. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness,
the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, but I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. For behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. I just was dwelling upon that little verse in there. Brother Branham read this whole scripture when he preached Doors and a Door, and he preached it multiple times. And we've talked about it often, but it just was on my heart, and I was thinking about it. But behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I just would like to go into this message he preached in February 6, 1965, and kind of begin and try to pull a little text from here tonight. But you know, we're living in that age where he wished he were cold or hot. And it is such an age of lukewarmness and coldness throughout all the churches and in people's lives. And we must never get in our mind that the church is this building and this certain group, but a church is you as an individual. You make up that church. And that church of Jesus Christ is going to be hot and on fire for God, with a true zeal burning in their heart to live and do every word that he has. And that's a question we must ask ourselves tonight. Am I cold? Am I hot? Where's my life with Christ? Am I just content to come to church and sit on a pew and hear the word preached? And I just come because it's time to come to service, and I come when I'm supposed to, and I leave when I'm supposed to, and I pay tithes and I pay offering. Maybe I help clean the church. Maybe I help do all things that a Christian's makes it look like a Christian's life. But am I that person that is getting in tune with God, that he said he would have that little bride in this age? You know, he said if there was another Bible ever written, this bride today would produce another book of Acts. And I wonder if each one of us was to sit today and ask ourselves, my life today, could there be a verse wrote to put in a book of Acts today that would represent that Jesus Christ was alive? Not talking about great signs and wonders, but just, can you look at your life today and say that there's one thing that happened to me today that he could write in that book of Acts and say, that little bride in this day, this one done that, and this one done this. I wonder if we stop and think about it that way, is my life that much of a reproduction of Jesus Christ that it could be wrote into a book of Acts? It's something to think about. But I'd like to go here. I'm going to turn here to page 17 in this little message, Doors and a Door, and begin here. And he was speaking here. It's actually on page 14. I'm sorry, the bottom page 14. He had told the little story about the Canadian king coming by. And I'm going to start here, and I want you to catch. She said, you see, teacher, the little girl, she was too small. And after the children had come out to wave their flags, and the Canadian king passed by, and they couldn't find this little girl after the king had passed through. So they got to looking, and they found her, and she was over in the corner crying. And they asked her what was wrong, and she said, you see, teacher, I'm so little. The others were standing in front of me, and they were bigger. And I waved my flag, but he didn't see it. And she was disturbed about it. And I thought, might be that King George did not see that little fellow's statue, and he might not have seen her patriotic heart and how she felt towards him. She was too short. But it isn't so with our king. Oh, the least little thing we do, he sees it. And he knows the very things and thoughts that's in our hearts, whatever we do, what little it is, and how do we serve him as we serve each other. If I don't love you, how can I love him? Insomuch as you've done unto these, my little ones, you've done it unto me, see? It's the little things that we leave undone sometimes that breaks the whole chain. You see, it lets us go free, just a denominational-minded, and forget about these little things that really are the essential things. Everything, every word of God is essential, and none of it can be left out. We've got to take every word of it just the way it was wrote. I stand at the door, said Jesus, in this Laodicea age, and knock. Did you notice the only church age that he was put out of his church? All other ages he was inside the church, through the Methodists, the Lutherans, and so forth. He was on the inside, but here he is outside. Our creeds and things had run him out of the church, but he is standing out there still knocking. And he that will hear and open the door, I'll come in with him and sup with them, and give them healing for their eyes and clothes, and give him the riches of heaven, he that will hear me knock. And he says, oh, what does a man knock on a man's door for? He is trying to gain entrance, and he's trying to get in. Perhaps he's got something he wants to tell you or talk over with you. He's got a message for you. And that's the reason people knock at one another's door. They've got some reason to do it. And there cannot be that happen without some reason. And you would not go to a man's house unless there is some reason to go, if nothing else, to visit, to take him a message or something. There is some reason for a man to knock on another man's door. And saints, the scripture says that where two or three are gathered in my name, together there I'll be in the midst. And I want you to stop and think that every time we come through those doors, Jesus Christ is here. And he's walking from pew to pew, and he sees each one of us. He knows our heart's desire from the littlest to the greatest. He knows why I'm here. He knows my motive for being here, my objective, and my attitude for sitting here. And as we come in, and as he walks back and forth and he sees each one, he sees your heart, and he knows what you have need of. And you know, oftentimes he comes up here and he lays something on the pastor's heart or whoever may be bringing the word for a certain person. And that the Holy Spirit begins to use the man standing here's mouth, and he begins to speak. And you might see this man standing here, but the Holy Spirit may be bringing a message to one person. Knocking on the heart's door, saying, open up and listen to me. Open up, I've got something for you. And oftentimes we sit there and he knocks so gently. But I want you to, as he said here, he was talking about the painting that was painted by the artist. And I don't know if any of you have seen it, but where Jesus is standing at the door knocking, and there's the door. And I want you to listen to what he says here. He says, and I thought of the name of the artist that drew the picture, painted a picture rather of the door. We know all the great pictures must first go through a line of hall critics before it can be hung in a hall of fame. And that original painting now would run millions of dollars. But see, it's like the church. It has to pass through the hall of critics. We go through, and you're going to be called Holy Roller. You're going to be called everything. But if you could hold your position in Christ, then someday he'll take us to the hall of fame. But first, we've got to stand the criticism. And there is where the littleness of us stand. There is where it shows. He cannot stand chastisement as an illegitimate child, not a child of God. No matter how much he's joined the church or whatever he's done, he is still. If he cannot stand chastisement, he is illegitimate. And he's not a real child of God. But a real genuine child of God don't care what the world says. Everything else is secondary. And he's got his mind on Christ, and that settles it. Whatever Christ says do, he'll do. And wherever the Lamb goes, they're with him. You see his appearing, his presence, and what he does. He is always with his people, his bride. He's courting her, and someday there's going to be a wedding supper. But this artist, however, went through the critics, a bunch of critics gathered around the artist, and I can't think of his name. I'm trying to think of Michelangelo, but he was a sculptor of Moses Monument. But I can't think of his name. But however, he said, your picture is outstanding. This critic did. He said, but I have nothing I can say against the picture. He said, because he's holding a lantern in his hand, and it shows that he's come to in the darkest of night. And he said, then he is at the door with his head and his ear turned, so he won't be sure to miss the faintest call. He has his ear turned to the door, and he's rapping at the door. But you know, sir, there's one thing that you forgot in your picture. And the artist, taking a lifetime to painting, he said, what is that I've forgotten, sir? And he said, no matter how much he knocked, you see, you forgot to put a latch on the door, and there's no latch on the door, if you'll notice. He said, oh, said the artist, but I painted it thus. You see, sir, the latch is on the inside, and you're the one that opens the door. You have to open that door. Amen. And as God comes and he begins to bring his word to us, it comes a lot of times in a lot of different ways. And you know, it may come right down my aisle and knock on my heart, and just even the message our pastor just got done bringing. If that doesn't show you a closeness of where we're coming to, and as you see the end of time rapidly approaching, he's knocking faster, he's more persistent, he's trying. The Holy Spirit's there trying to get in. He's trying to show you the last little places. Because why? If we didn't have need of nothing, we wouldn't be sitting here. But we have need. We realize in ourselves we have a need, and that's why we've come. But now as we come, and we come needy, and Jesus Christ is here to meet that need. Well, every time we come through that door, he's here to meet your need if you're crying out to him. And maybe he might bring the very thing you need, and he's knocking on your door, but will you open it, or will you let pride shut that door? As he said over here in the, over here on page, he's talking. He says, now on the right side of the human heart, when you walk into the door, there's a little door on the right side. This is on page 25. That's called, there's the door of pride. Don't go entering into that door. They don't want the Lord in there on that door. That's pride. I'm blue blood. I take care. Oh, yes. Now look, I tell you, it's pride. Don't you meddle in there. And how often being veterans, and oh, I know this message. How often it is you can't talk to somebody that's been around this message so long. I've done got an understanding of that. And they get boastful in themselves, and I could show you some things. I could tell you, I could, but where's the humbleness of opening that door and saying, Lord, enter in and show me where I have need of? You know, maybe the word comes, and it comes right down my line as a brother. Love your wife as Christ has loved the church. And what if I shut that door and say, oh, I ain't got to do that? And this Holy Spirit's knocking because maybe I'm lacking in that thing, and that's why it's being brought across the pulpit. That's why it's coming, because Jesus Christ, seeing I had a need, and he's knocking, you need this. But I'm shutting off my heart's door. Maybe I'm a wife that won't be submissive to my husband. And I'll take all the rest of the word, but I will not bow down and let a man have authority over me. Absolutely not. I'm just as much as you are. You're shutting off that door in your heart. And it shows, and Jesus is seeing it, and he's standing there, and he's offering you the very thing you have need of. And it might be raising your children. Maybe the word says to spare not the rod, but I will not. I shut the door with that. I don't have to whip my child. I don't have to do that. I don't have to make them cry. I don't. And you shut the door off to the word. Those are just the little things. But it's the little things. We can claim we have revelation of the mysteries, and I understand this and I understand that, but it's got to come down to every word of Jesus Christ has got to be lived and manifested in our lives. From brotherly kindness to brotherly love, every word has got to be that important in my heart that it's totally burning there. And as the Holy Spirit begins to knock, that I'm willing and open. And as we see this in many avenues and episodes through the word, you see that door of pride raise up. And let's turn here to Luke, turn with me to Luke, the 18th chapter. And I want to read something here. Jesus typed as a parable. And I want you to think about this, because it happens oftentimes. We can get in a carnal state, maybe a carnal way of thinking, and we begin to get a little puffed up in ourselves. I wear my dresses the way I should. I dress like I should as a man, and I come to church, and boy, my pastor's preaching the word 100%, and I've got it all right down the line. But I want you to listen here as Jesus speaking in the 18th chapter of Luke in the 9th verse. And he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And it's very important, saints, that as God shows mercy and grace, we don't get raised up in ourselves and begin to think that we're something. For when a man thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But he said, two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners and unjust adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And oftentimes you might look around, and the word is judged. Maybe we see this, and maybe we could have that prayer. I'm so glad I'm not like the church I left. Boy, I'm sure glad. But it's only God's grace you're not. And we must never raise ourselves up to where I feel that I am better than somebody else. Because at some other moment, maybe you see somebody that's an adulterer. And you know, they're an adulterer. But God shows mercy to whom he will. And if that person comes in, it's no different than if you've told a lie. Or if you've done anything, you're guilty, as our pastor brought. But sometimes as human beings, well, I've never really done anything. You know, I'm clean. I didn't do nothing. But in God's eyes, we're all the same. We were sinners. Every one of us needed a pardon. Every one of us needed the blood of Jesus Christ. And if he hadn't have paid the price for us, we would all be lost. Amen. And it wouldn't have been him. He can come down and you can say you accept him. But it takes a revelation to see that your sins was nailed to that cross and that blood flowed over them. And you're as sinless as anything. White as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. But saints, we've got to see the importance of the Holy Spirit moving in this last day. He's calling a people out, calling a people to himself, back to every word. A people that can be humble. A people that can have love one for another. A people that can show every characteristic Jesus Christ had and still move on with him and be that perfect, virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. And then, you know, and that's why God sends his word the way that he does, and it comes. But we've got to be willing to open our heart and let Jesus take us the rest of the way. You know, oftentimes we don't like, maybe the word comes and look how many times it'll come and it'll come and it'll come. But maybe we keep shutting it off. But he's persistent. He'll stand there and keep knocking. If that little elected seed's in there, he's going to knock till you open to him. Amen. But oh my, how we should be so willing just to open. But I want to, while I'm on that thought, let me turn here to, this is in the same book, back over here. This is on page 14. And I want you to think about this. As we, he's talking about Abraham Lincoln here and the fellow that was in the war. He said there was a young fellow, he was in the war and he was a coward to begin with. And in the time of duty, he withdrew from his post and they found something against him that he was going to have to be shot. And oh, it was terrible. And one young fellow loved him so well, he went to Mr. Lincoln to get a pardon. And he was president at the time in the United States here, so they went to him for a pardon. And he said to him as he was getting out of his carriage, he said, Mr. Lincoln, there's a boy that's going to die in 2 days from now, be shot because he ran in the time of battle. He said, Mr. Lincoln, the boy isn't bad, but all those muskets are firing and people dying, he was nervous and he was upset. And he threw up his hands and he started screaming and said, I have known the boy. And said, Mr. Lincoln, only your name on this piece of paper can spare him. Will you do it? And of course, this Christian gentleman quickly signed the paper, pardoned so-and-so, and signed his name. Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States. And went the messenger back as hard as he could go. And he run to the cell and he said, you're free. Here is Mr. Lincoln's signature, you're free. He said, why would you come to mock me knowing that I'd die tomorrow? He said, take away from here. You're only mocking me. And he wouldn't receive it. No, I don't want it. You're only making, he said, if it was the president, it would have the coat of arms and it would have his right of paper, but it's his signature. He said, how will I know his signature? He said, you're just mocking me and you're trying to make me feel good. And he started screaming and turned his back, and the boy was shot the next morning. And then after that boy being dead, the president's name on the piece of paper, he was pardoned. Then what? They tried in the federal court, and there was the decision of our courts, which is the ultimate of all of our courts. What they say sometimes, we don't like their decision, but we have to abide by it anyhow. It's the tie post, the ultimate. Now, this decision, a pardon, is not a pardon unless it's received as a pardon. And I want you to stop to think sometimes how God has used these ministry. He sets pastors in places and teachers and evangelists, and he sets them in there for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And a true pastor's got his people on his heart, and he's crying out to God, and maybe he can see something that's wrong in someone's life. Maybe he sees a need that you have need of and something that's lacking. And he may go to God in prayer and pray. And he's crying out for his congregation with all of his heart because that's what God's placed in his heart to do. And God gives him an answer and lays a message upon his heart to bring that'll help that person, that would be the pardon to that person. And he, being a messenger at that point, he may run back here and get up here and begin to bring that message. And bring it as hoping, you know, he's throwing that last stone. And then that person not even receive it. That person, he had it in his hand. He brought the message. It was given to him.
and a person rejected and shut off their heart and not open up to let Jesus Christ do the work that was needed. Saints, it can happen right here. It's real. And God is here every service. He's knocking on our heart's door, but don't shut him off. It may be some of the simplest things. It might be Facebook, you know, as our pastor just mentioned it. You might say, you might argue that point. You may not think it's got a right to be nosy or say this or say that. You may feel that that it's none of his business. But if God has placed him as your pastor and he puts that desire in his heart to bring the word, and then if that was God delivering it and you shut your heart off to it, you've shut it off to God, not the men. And that's what happens in this day. We've still got our eyes too focused on men. We want to look at the pastor. Well, he made a mistake. He done this. He done that. He went here. He went there. Get your eyes off man and look to the word that God is bringing. That man, if God is leading him and dealing with his heart and gives him word to bring, it's just the same as if Brother Branham himself was standing here bringing it. But you must not shut off your heart to the Holy Spirit. And we must not become hardened that the Holy Spirit can't deal with us. But we should pray and cry out that we would be open. That when we come in those doors, there would be a softness in my heart. When was the last time that you can truly say, maybe we were just singing a hymn before service, and there was truly tears running down your face? Truly a worship. Maybe it wasn't happening to everybody else, but in your heart, there was a real, genuine, a love going back. Maybe you felt the urge in your heart to come pray. We're not a form and a fashion. If God lays on your heart to come to that altar at any time during a service, that altar's yours. Or if you feel to nail down at your bench or to shout hallelujah or stand up, whatever. You do what God lays on your heart. You must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we must be open to the knock of the Holy Spirit upon our door. He's dealing with individuals. He don't deal with groups. You might be the only one that really feels the anointing in a service. Be the one to take and worship God in spirit and in truth. And not just a form and a fashion. But it comes down to individuals. We can't just follow a group as it keeps moving along, but it's got to be you and God alone with a relationship. It's burning in your heart. He's talking to individuals. He may only pardon one. He might only pardon two, but if it's here and the pardon's open, take it while it's here. But oh my, do we take it seriously, saints, that as the word comes forth, sometimes it's so easy to maybe look and say, I think that's for so-and-so, and push it off. This situation really needs addressed. I don't know why we don't deal with that. But God knows exactly the time and place to bring his word, and he knows how to place it in there. And God's not concerned about your time or my time. He's concerned about his time and his plan. For all things work to his glory, to his benefit. But oh, may we really soften up. Don't become just a formal church. Don't fall into the rut of so many. Well, I read, I pray, I listen to the word, but where is that literal life of Jesus Christ? Where is that total surrender to Jesus, to that word, that he's got the full preeminence in our heart and our life? If we were thrown into prison tomorrow, two of us, would we be able to sit there in a cold jail and begin to sing praises to God and worship him? Or would we be complaining, trying to figure out why we were there and we were falsely accused and we shouldn't even be here? Or would there just be a joy in our hearts, Lord, I'll be content in whatever state I find myself in? But oh my, when you stop to think of what those old rugged warriors did and the life that Christ lived through that book, and it's got to be reproduced in us, you and I, where do we stand today? Where's my heart? Where's my hunger? Here on page 22, he said, but Jesus is bringing something to you when he knocks. He's bringing a pardon. Don't turn it down. For as it was tried in our courts here, so will it be in the kingdom of heaven. If he knocked and brought the pardon and you turned it down, you die in your sins, you'll perish. Though you had the honor of sitting in a meeting like this, though you had the honor of attending the revival or church, heard your pastor preach a gospel message, and had the audience and say, yes, I was there. And maybe you heard, hard to tell what all you could say. I heard the singing and I enjoyed it. I heard the testimonies and it was real. But you turned it down. And oh, my saints, how precious we ought to count this precious word every time. And how we should be open. And don't ever let Satan get us to a place to where we can just think that's our pastor's idea. Or that's just his idea. It must run with the word. But be careful that because of your knowledge you think you have of the word, that you think he's wrong, or any man that's bringing the truth wrong. I'm just using our pastor because that's who we sat under. But if it's the truth being brought, you must come subject to it to let God have his way.
Amen. But oh my, you know, we can turn here to the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, and read a situation that happened here, and how often, saints, it happens just like this. Very familiar, Mark 10, in the 17th verse. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And how often do we come through that door, "Lord, what do you have for me tonight?" And then Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all of these have I observed from my youth." And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And saints, this was wrote for an example to us, that when the word comes, we might be able to say, "But I've done this. I've been raised in a Christian home. I've honored my father and mother. I've attended service, and I've done all that I'm supposed to do, but lack one thing." One thing's all it takes, and my walk with Christ is in vain. One word short, and it's over. But oh my, how we ought to be crying out, as the sister sang that song, "If I've been one, that challenge burning, I've been predestinated to be that one for this age that would prove that somebody would be on fire for Jesus Christ. Somebody would be hot. Somebody would have a true love for him to manifest his word and to do everything that he says." But oh my, is he knocking on your door and you're not opening? Is he bringing something to your attention that you're shutting off because you don't want to accept it? I don't know, saints. I don't know why he laid this on my heart to bring it the way he did. But he laid it there for a reason. And I weighed myself. Weigh yourself. Make sure you're not shutting your door. Amen. And open up. You might have pride. You might think you're this and you're that. But humble yourself down now and give God an opportunity. It's not about joining the church. It's about having the baptism of the Holy Ghost and a genuine new birth that'll bring your body subject to this word and bring your life under subjection to Christ. It'll tame your tongue. It'll tame your actions. It'll tame your thoughts. It'll straighten everything out and line it up perfectly with God's word. Amen. But we've got to be willing and open to him. And like a lamb, kneel down and just say, "Here am I, Lord, mold me and make me what you would have me be." You sisters can come to the instruments. But saints, we must keep our eyes upon the goal. And we must pay attention to the moving of the Holy Spirit. So many in this last day don't know what the moving of the Holy Spirit is. God could, you know, they miss it and they walk over top of it. But God is still here and he's moving. Amen. Let me see here. I thought there was one more. Saints, we must yield to the Holy Spirit, whatever he's got. You know, oftentimes it's contrary to the way we feel. It's against maybe what I've been taught. Maybe it's something that I've always believed another way. But it doesn't matter. It's got to come to him. Everything yielded, everything under subjection. But oh my, may we truly yield ourselves. Amen. I thought I had one more there, but I can't locate it. But oh my, saints, he's moving. This is the age that all things were going to come to perfection. This was the winding up of all the ages. That little bride was going to be without spot or blemish, and she's going to be just like he said in every aspect.
our lives, not just when we're at church, but when we're at home, wherever we travel, there'll be a joy in our hearts, a true praise to Him. But just stop and think about it as you go through the day. If that book of Acts was wrote tomorrow, where would your life be? Would there be a place in there for you? And it might just be, Brother Kevin, he had a circumstance arise in his life and he overcame it. He overcame with the Word. The Word worked through him and met the need of the hour. It works that way in all of our lives. It's not about, can I raise the dead today? Can I call on arms and legs? But it's about, He said He would have a people that would walk in His perfect will and that He would live His life through them precisely every word, just exactly the way He wanted it to be. And in that, there can be the dead raised. There can be arms called on. There can be mighty things happen in that. But most of all, it'll be the Word 100% in our lives. So many people can raise the dead, but they ain't got the life to go with it. Many people can do many things. Brother Branham talked about the witch doctors and the different things he's seen and all the things that took place, many signs and wonders. But you remember, the devil can impersonate any gift God's got, but he can't match that Word. He can't live that Word. But God's predestinated a people in this age that will. And He predestinated the hearts of people that will yield themselves and give in to that Holy Spirit and let Him have the preeminence. Oh, my saints, each one of us, I believe, could cry out to God and say greater, Lord, soften my heart, Lord. Break off any crust and any hard places that I've formed. Am I just as loving today? You know, it's often funny sometimes to watch how things, people go along, nothing happens. And then all of a sudden, a situation may arise, a great tragedy, a disaster in the land. And oh my, the people will just come together in a great, you know, take 9/11, for instance, when it happened, all the American people were just all unified, all together. But it didn't take long, and they're all back at each other's throat. And that's kind of how, without the Holy Spirit holding a group of people together, something can happen, a Holy Spirit service can come, and oh, it'll just be so sweet and loving. And everybody's just loving one another. And then go back out and let a little circumstance happen and watch a little rift rise between a sister to a sister, maybe a sister to a brother, brother to a brother. You just, and watch it begin to drift apart. And that's why we must take the wrong. Even if you're right, take the wrong. And give in to the Holy Spirit and keep that sweetness and that humbleness amongst us. You might be wrong and somebody else might be right. But oh my, if we each one give the way we should and really just be humble and pray for that person, God will work it out to where that unity and that sweetness and that peace will stay in our midst. And saints, it's important in this day. Amen. We need it. You ain't got nobody else in this land to depend on but the brothers and sisters in Christ that are truly holding up in fellowship with you and under that Word. And my, may we give heed and pray for each and every one of us. Uphold each other. Be there for one another. And oh my, above all, cry out to God that we would have that leading of the Holy Spirit, that He would be in our midst leading one, two, three, whatever needs to be done, that He would be there. Not just following a group, not just doing it because so-and-so does it, but because God moved on my heart to do this or to do that. Oh, may we yield to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, if you would. Maybe a little bit short this evening, but just thank the Lord for His precious Word. You know, all things happen for a reason. He lays things on our hearts, and we don't understand sometimes. You know, it's a lot funner to come in here and really preach a jumping, shouting message, but we bring what the Lord lays upon our heart. And you know, you better pray for me. I got three services in a row here. It might be a little rough. Amen. But I pray God will bless our pastor and give him rest for his body and Amen. Let him enjoy his trip. And may he just be a, just come back rested. And I know he's got you on his heart and I know he's praying for us. And you know, oftentimes it's so easy, as I said, don't ever forget. It's easy to look up here and see man because man's reading the Word. Man's doing, but keep your eye on the moving of the Holy Spirit and watch God fulfill His Word in our lives, because it's truly the moving of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you just look back to how we all started here and how we gathered here, And look at God, how the Holy Spirit moved each one to the place that we're standing. Nobody got a hold of each other's arms and said, this is what we're going to do. But each one decided to come. This is where we wound up. God placed us here. Each one of us has come at different times. Maybe some of us started at the very beginning. And then some of us have just come in. But oh my, let me read this. Hey man, this is in Matthew. I didn't write it on this page. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I won't be long. Hey man. I had it wrote on another paper and I left it out there. Amen. But it's the parable where Jesus was talking about the first came in and they agreed to work for a penny. And then he went out in the sixth hour and he went out in the ninth hour and he went out in the 11th hour and everyone agreed to work for the same thing. And then when it come time to pay out, did he start with the first ones first? The parable says he started at the last and paid backwards to the first. And they each received a penny. And he said to remember, many that are last will be first, and many that was first will be last. Be careful somebody else doesn't steal your crown or your spot because you think you've been in this message so long, or I've been a supporter, I've been a pillar at this church, I've done this and I've done that. That's what's happened in many churches. People have looked up to people that was maybe in the church many times. Well, he's been a veteran, he ought to know. And maybe God brought up a little bitty young man and laid something on his heart to bring to the church, and they ignore it. But oh my, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because we'll each receive that same reward. It don't matter how long you've worked. Maybe you was invited in at the first hour. Be thankful you was. And if you got invited in the last hour, be thankful that you got invited in. Amen. And do your part and uphold your place and work till Jesus comes, and then we'll all rejoice in that reward. But oh my, may we truly press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that little chorus. I feel like singing. Amen. Anybody got a song on your heart? Anybody else? Amen. You know, Brother Branham said he really liked to sing after a scorching message. He said it was a time of worship. You know, oftentimes you don't feel too much, and I wouldn't call this a scorching message. But oftentimes, sometimes the word comes, and maybe we don't have a joyous song. But oh my, I just love him. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus. To me, he is so wonderful. Hallelujah. To me, he is so wonderful. Oh,
come dismiss us?
Amen.
Amen. We say thank the Lord for his word tonight. Amen. Words of encouragement. Amen. Words of life to those that will receive it and obey it. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're just grateful and thankful that we could be here tonight, Lord. We thank you for the words you've spoken unto us tonight, Lord, and praying that each and every one, Lord, that it was intended for, Lord God, would receive it into their heart and receive the revelation of it, Lord, that the desire of their heart would be more and more to draw closer unto you, Lord, and to surrender their life unto you completely, Lord. For my God, we realize in this hour, Lord, you're asking, Lord, and expecting, Lord, a people, Lord, that will just surrender their whole life unto you in obedience to your word, Lord, that you might be able to live in them and through them, Lord, to manifest the very literal life of Jesus Christ for this hour. We pray now that you'll bless us as we depart from the building, Lord, and keep your hand upon us, Lord, until the next appointed time. If you should tarry, Lord, and pray that you'd keep our minds and our hearts stayed upon thee as we go throughout the day. We ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.